This is State Street, and today we're talking with congressional candidate Nate Bluen. I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. Utah has a new district with a blue tint.
And that's all because of redistricting. The state's first congressional district now has a heavy left lean.
So we're sitting down with all four Democratic candidates in Utah's first congressional district. This is the first of those four conversations.
We ask each candidate the same six questions so you can hear where they stand on some of the issues you care about. And these interviews have been edited for length and clarity.
We are releasing these in alphabetical order by the candidate's last name. So, Nate Bluen.
Look, as soon as Bluen saw how the chips were falling for the state's redrawn congressional districts, he jumped on it. He's been the vocal progressive in Utah state politics for quite a minute now. Elected as a state senator in 2022, he's been loud on issues like immigration enforcement, the Great Salt Lake, and public lands. Now, Bluen is dead set on a progressive taking this seat. He has even declared that he will drop out of the race if a self-funded popularity poll comes back not in his favor.
We took turns interviewing the candidates, and Hugo spoke with Nate Bluen.
Nate Bluen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Hugo.
First off, what are you going to bring to Congress that's different?
Yeah, the same thing I've brought to the legislature, which I think is different and unique in Utah, which is someone who's really willing to challenge the status quo, to challenge the establishment, you know, things like Medicare for all, things like raising the minimum wage. I mean, these are pieces of legislation that I have tried to move forward here in Utah, not had a lot of success because of the political dynamics. And that's where I'm going to start in D.C., is trying to put forward those big policies that we can actually move forward with what should be a Democratic majority this coming year in the House, and then line it up for when we have the Senate back, which may be this year, may not be, and when we win the presidency back, and bring home actual solutions for my constituents.
This is a Democratic primary, but within the party, there's a wide range of views from center-left to very progressive. How would you describe your politics?
Yeah, I would say of the four candidates left, I am, you know, the Bernie Sanders endorsed progressive in this race. With the backing of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, I'm ready to get to work on day one because they see this as an opportunity to really send someone who's going to fight for progressive values, for left-leaning values here in Utah at the federal level.
If you win, you're likely going to be the only Democrat in the delegation. And I'm curious, how are you going to work with your fellow Utah representatives in Washington?
I look at this as an oppositional role. I look at this as continuing the role that I've played in the legislature, which is to stand up to President Adams, to speak up on the floor of the Senate and get my microphone shut off because I don't like what I have to say. That's going to be the same role I play in, you know, an adversarial position to the other five members of this delegation. When we see eye to eye on something, you know, if they want to work in concert to seek billions of dollars in funding for Great Salt Lake like we need, great. I was just seeing Blake Moore today talking about how he wants to convene the governors to solve redistricting. And I'm like, that's a ridiculous solution. The governors are never going to get together and solve this at their level. But if he wants to put forward an actual policy like Democrats have passed that he voted against in the past, let's work on that.
Let's touch on some issues. AI, how do you want to shape policy around that, you know, really fast growing technology?
Yeah. And so this is something I've been thinking about for quite a long time as someone who worked in clean energy several years ago and has worked on AI and data center policy in the legislature. We need a moratorium. So that's where I'm aligned with Bernie Sanders, because we need to figure out what comes next. We can't keep investing like literally trillions of dollars in this stuff without actually thinking through. So that probably means restrictions on emissions. You know, this data center proposed up in Box Elder County would like double or more the state's total emissions because it's a gigantic, I look at it more as a gigantic natural gas facility than a data center. We need to think about, so the environmental side in areas that, you know, are water scarce, let's make sure we aren't contributing to that by building data centers in those areas. Let's make sure that we are not contributing to air quality issues like we have here in Utah by building gigantic emissions facilities. And let's get the land use right. Let's make sure sure we are not bulldozing over Native American grave sites, because that's another issue we've seen up there. So I think it goes beyond just looking here in Utah and looking nationally at let's take a pause. Let's come back when we have actual policies to pass that say, here's how we want to move forward in certain places where it makes sense. It may not in a state like Utah. I think that's critical to address this as a nationwide issue, though, and not to just look at Utah in particular.
Utah is facing a lot of environmental challenges. We're in a drought. Water is very scarce. Air quality is often poor. What are some of your priorities when it comes to environmental policy?
I mean, Great Salt Lake is number one, right? That's the acute issue that ties in so many of those different pieces. It's an air quality issue, and it's an ecological disaster. We're seeing the bird populations be devastated because they don't have the resources they need to survive up there. You're seeing wildlife populations who have counted on having islands out there that are no longer islands to seclude themselves. So we're seeing so many different vulnerabilities coming out of Great Salt Lake. We need a whole lot of money. That $1 billion that Trump promised is fine. I'm sure there's going to be some weird strings attached, but looking for that sort of ongoing funding to secure water rights, to secure leases and the infrastructure needed to actually get water to the lake. And emissions is huge. You know, we can't be building gigantic new emissions facilities like the Stratos project. And we need to rein in big utilities like PacifiCorp.
Last issue we're going to touch on is the economy. Housing costs are high, fuel is up, everything seems expensive. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you would do to address Utah's cost of living?
Yeah, Medicare for all is a big piece. So reducing medical costs for people, insurance costs for folks. That's something I've heard from constituents that I represent now. After those premium subsidies expired on the ACA, going from like $500 a month to $1,500 a month. So I mean, people can't plan for that. So I think that would be a huge driver. Housing would be number two. Maybe it's 1A. They're both right hand in hand. But addressing the corporate power that has driven up housing prices, we need to ban algorithmic price fixing and collusion that's happening from some of these big companies that have purchased homes and are either reselling them or renting them, and really, I mean, taking billions of dollars in additional rents out of tenants, and also enacting tenant protections that actually work for people. And so we need to address those, and also refocus on public housing and making sure that the federal government is actually allowed to invest in public housing. And so I think a combination of those sorts of policies will help to bring costs down. And then we need to stop the stupid wars, the terrible foreign policy that has enabled genocide in Gaza, that allowed Trump to go into Iran at Israel's behest and drop more bombs over there. Every day we spend billions of dollars overseas on death and destruction, and we should be spending that here in our country to reduce food costs, to build schools, to build hospitals, to help actual people here in our country, and then focus on foreign policy that's actually humane and focused on diplomacy and humanitarianism rather than just blowing people up.
Nate Bluen, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Hugo. Yeah. Sweet.
And that does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. The rest of the candidate interviews will be coming in the next several days. Hear them wherever you get your podcasts. And as a quick reminder, primary day is June 23rd.
Utah Democrats have an open primary, so anyone in this first congressional district can vote in this race, but only registered Democrats will automatically get a ballot.
So if you're a registered Republican or, you know, anything else and really want to vote in this race, you have until June 16th to request a ballot from the Salt Lake County Clerk. State Street only happens because of our team. Jim Hill does all things digital, and Alexis Rausch did our artwork.
David Childs does our audio production here at State Street, and KUER News Director Elaine Clark helps edit.
Caroline Ballard is our executive producer, which means she does some of everything.
Happy voting!
From KUER.